Part 6. Il Diavolo. All truths are easy to understand once they are discovered. The point is to discover them. Galileo Galilei. Friday. C-0. Ford Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. Sometime between 4 and 5 in the morning, Dan was abruptly awoken by the sound of his phone vibrating its way across Emma's bedside table. He tried to reach it before it woke her too. She was exhausted, but it fell to the floor before he got there. "Who the hell is that?" she groaned. Dan picked up his phone, glad to see the screen in one piece, and saw Timo's name. "It's Timo," he said, swiping his finger to take the call. "You're awake," Timo said. "Good. I need to tell you something important. I'm outside." Dan flicked the switch on an overhanging wall lamp and pointed to Emma's bedroom door, silently telling her that Timo was outside. They both stood up. "Is everything okay?" Dan asked. Timo hesitated for long enough to render a verbal answer unnecessary. He eventually replied with a simple, "No." But Dan reached the front door to let him in before any elaboration came. Rooster, doubtless confused as to why everyone was awake so early, lazily watched on. Having thrown on a satin robe, Emma had already taken an impatient seat on the couch to hear what was so important at this hour. But although no one looked their sharpest, she rose to her feet immediately when she saw the paleness of Timo's face. Her impatience dissipated in an instant, replaced by palpable apprehension. "Is someone dead?" Dan asked. Given Timo's expression and pallor, this was a reasonable enough question. Timo stepped inside and briefly closed his eyes and gulped several times, as though fighting vertigo. He then inhaled slowly but deeply and took a seat on the now empty couch. Dan and Emma shared an uneasy glance as Timo leaned back and looked upwards. "Alessandro found a comet," he eventually said, speaking the words to the ceiling. "To be precise, a previously undetected multi-kilometer long-period comet." "How far away?" Dan asked. "When's the next pass? How close will it come?" Timo looked down from the ceiling and met Dan's eyes. He said nothing. "How close?" Dan repeated. "What kind of effects are we looking at? Is this something we can observe, or is this something we need to worry about?" From where Emma was standing, Timo's manner had already answered Dan's second question better than any words could. And still, words eluded Timo. "Timo!" Dan snapped, sharpening his tone rather than raising his voice. Timo nodded several times, almost rocking rather than nodding, then finally spoke again. "If it's left to approach unchecked, the destructive effects will be unprecedented. You asked how close it will pass. The answer from Alessandro is that it won't." Now it was Dan's turn to fall silent. Now it was Dan's turn to turn pale. "And not just Alessandro," Timo continued. "Unfortunately, my staff are insistent that if this comet is left unchecked, there will be no passage at all. In Alessandro's words, after multiple distinct observations, our computers, the best in the world, have calculated the impact probability as effectively 100%. "The data is wrong," Dan said, his voice weak. "Tell them to check again. Are they factoring in?" "They're factoring in everything," Timo butted in. He took no pleasure in interrupting, but he saw no sense in allowing false hope to develop. "The models have come on leaps and bounds in the last few years, and those models are unanimous." Dan turned away, as though burned by the heat of a fire. Emma took over. "So when you say long period, what exactly does that mean? The time it takes to loop around the sun?" "Exactly," Timo said, slightly more at ease now that he had spat out the basics of the horrible discovery. "It means it takes a long time to orbit the sun. In standard usage, long means anything over 200 years. For some comets, it can reach millions of years." "So what about this one? How long does this one take?" Emma asked. "The current estimate is an orbital period of 90,000 years, something in that range." Emma perked up. "Estimate? In that range? So none of this is definite?" "The important parts are definite," Timo replied, shaking his head gloomily. Given the distances and timescales involved, even extended observation won't give an exact orbital period. But we know where it is, we know where it's going, and we know how fast it's moving. So how long do we have? She asked. Dan turned around to face Timo again. And how long do we need to do something about it? He added. Because there must be options, maybe something bigger and stronger than DS-1, or even any of the speculative technologies other people talked about last year when some people thought the first plaques were warning us about an asteroid. Anything. Bearing in mind that the whole world will be working on this, that money will be no object, and that we won't be wasting time on safety checks or testing, how long would you say we need to have a chance? Well, Timo sighed, blowing air from his lips. Knowing what I know about the status of the kind of projects you mentioned, and being realistic rather than optimistic, I would say that to develop anything capable of dealing with something of this size, we would need around 3 years, if everything went smoothly. But the problem we face is... And how long do we have? Emma repeated. Unchecked. When would it hit? Timo's voice fell to a whisper as he delivered the most painful blow of all. 9 months.